to the killer verse in 17, 18, did I? All these different mentions of the metaphor, and the ultimate metaphor that I was driving for is in verse 18. Then I do want to discuss with you the difference between sin and evil. I talked about the wild beast, the kings of the earth giving their kingdoms to the wild beast, and I said it was a sin to do that. It was a sin, but God caused it. I want to make sure you understand the difference between sin versus evil. Hello, everyone. This is Martin Zender. Welcome to the Revelation series. All these delicious metaphors. Go back a few shows if you forget everything I said about the metaphors. What? I just wanted color today. I'm feeling the color. I know you say, Martin, you're supposed to have a gloomy, black and white, disturbing and distorted image here on the laundry cam. Why don't you? Because I need color today. It's as simple as that. So these great explanations, starting in verse 15, the waters which you perceived where the prostitute is are peoples. The waters are peoples. It's a metaphor. Remember, both ends of the metaphor are nouns, literal nouns, by the way. The figurative part of the metaphor is the middle part. That is the verb to be. Because waters are not peoples. Waters are waters. Peoples are peoples. You can't talk to the water. You can't wait behind water at Walmart. No, you wait behind people at Walmart, not water. And people are not water. You don't drink people. You don't pour people into a mixture of Kool-Aid. And I got throwing back to my childhood when Kool-Aid was the drink du jour. My mom always used to open those Kool-Aid packets and you'd smell that wonderful intoxicating powder, and then she'd pour the powder in there, and then the water poured on top of it. And I'll never forget the sound. It made a fine impression on me, as I was raised on sugar. As you know, I'm addicted to sugar today. I try to control it, but I'll never be cured of it. All that to say that water is not people, people is not water. So the water is people, a crazy statement, unless you understand metaphors. These waters are peoples. Martin, how do you know the water is literal? Here's the thing I keep telling you. Because John saw water. Simple as that. John saw the water. There's waters, the waters which you perceived. You perceived. John perceived literal waters. These literal waters are literal peoples. The water's literal because John saw it. And the peoples are literal. The peoples are the thing that is appearing on the earth. That's the explanation. That's the literal noun on the back end of this metaphor, the back end being the last noun of the two nouns. This is the explanation of what John saw. And it's literal as can be. The figurative part is the is. See, because waters aren't people. They're not. Now, these waters are people, yes. And the ten horns, the ten horns that you perceived are hating the prostitute. They're ten kings. Oh, we had that earlier. The ten horns which you perceived are ten kings. That was verse 12. John saw ten horns. They are ten kings. Literal horns, literal kings, figurative are. The money verse finally in verse 18. And the woman whom you perceived is the great city. The woman, I like my long hair because I can throw it around like a rock star. Bahuma. The woman that you perceived is the great city, which has a kingdom over the kings of the earth. John perceived a woman in his vision, a literal woman. This is a metaphor. The woman is a great city. A woman's not a city. A city's not a woman. How can a woman be a city? In a metaphor. And in a metaphor, law of language here, and I respect laws of language, both nouns are literal. So it's a literal city. It's a literal city. This is not this is not ultimately allegory for a system of religion, even though it might be a system of religion. It's not ultimately an allegory for people who are confused, even though Babylon means confused. It's ultimately a literal city, and it's not a revived Roman Empire. Even if it was a revived Roman Empire, this would be the capital of it. But it's not a revived Roman Empire because there never was a worldwide Roman Empire. Remember, all we care about here is world kingdoms. Rome was never a world dominating kingdom. Never were. It's a matter of history. I looked it up myself. I looked at all the countries, all the places on the planet that Rome did not conquer. And it's embarrassing for them. I feel bad for Rome. I feel bad for... who was the Roman Empire guy? Was there one guy that pushed the Roman Empire? All the Caesars. Whoever they were, I'm embarrassed for them because they never took over the entire world. So all this talk about the revived Roman Empire, this might be a good time, speaking of embarrassment, of what I possibly thought Babylon could be. Now this is, I'm a bit embarrassed about this now. I haven't told you this yet, ever. You've never heard this. There happens to be, the kings of the earth, they and their ships and the shipping industry, they stand afar off Babylon. And it makes it seem like Babylon is a water city on the coast. Now, things could happen with the water that could make Babylon a coastal city. But as you look at it on the map, it's not. So I thought, okay, what's a financial... This is now my reasoning kicking in and not believing scripture. Just thinking, well, what's a great coastal city? New York City. Maybe Babylon is New York. It was very tempting of me, for me to think of Babylon. I think Babylon could be New York City. Oh, it's a figurative. It's secret language. See, that's stupid. But here's what did it for me. On Long Island, New York, there's a city called Babylon. You see where I'm going with this. On Long Island, there's a city called Babylon. And when ships come into New York Harbor, they go. The first thing they see is this big water tower that says Babylon. So I thought, okay, it can still be a literal city. It's still literal Babylon. And somehow it'll still be the financial capital of the world because it's near New York. And maybe the strong men and strong women of New York, those who are running the world, that small band of Jewish people, running the world, somehow do it like just down the road. Like New York City's a front with the buildings and everything. And then down the road in Babylon, literal city of Babylon, they are taking over the world. In a warehouse, like those great movies you see where the criminals take over the world and they're doing it from an abandoned warehouse. And the warehouse looks innocuous from the outside. And it's only as you press a secret button and are admitted entrance that you go into this incredible secret world kingdom. And you have all these sophisticated machines. But nobody passing the warehouse would suspect anything was going on there. But inside, the diabolical people are taking over the world. So that was an exciting scenario for me, except I'm realizing that the pattern. Remember I said, if you have a pattern, then the pattern, according to scriptural precedent, follows. Remember I said, in the days of these kings, God will be establishing his kingdom. In fact, let's go back to verse 18. And the woman which you perceived is the great city which has a kingdom over the kings of the earth. The kings of the earth. So if you're suddenly going to make this a spiritual kingdom, a metaphorical kingdom, like the kingdom of heaven is within you, that type of thing that Christians like to do, to say that there's not going to be an outward polity, there's not going to be an actual kingdom. It's an inward kingdom. It's a feeling I have about Jesus inside of me. And my light, my inner light is going to take over the world by me helping old women across the street and saving the earth and segregating plastic from glass, and the world will see that Jesus is in me, and then everyone will just faint from happiness. And if enough Christians act like Jesus, then the whole world will be converted to Christ. This is the insane idea. Well, you know, let me retract that. It's not insane. It's not an insane idea. It's just silly. It's silly. Because while Jesus does tell his followers, and Paul does tell us, to be lights in the world and to reflect the message well, to be good stewards of the word of grace, speaking of us, now members of the body of Christ, Paul exhorts us to be good stewards and to behave as children of the light, so the world doesn't stumble at us. That doesn't mean we're converting the world by our behavior. The world is just not stumbling. That's the best, the best you can say, I guess, is somebody comes up to you and says, why are you so peaceful? Why don't you care about the election? Why aren't you upset about it? Why don't you fret and fume and worry? Well, because our kingdom is not of this world, see? So that's the best that can happen, is someone can ask you about your calm demeanor, and then you can explain to them that, well, my world's not here, I'm of a different disposition, Jesus is my savior, I'm not worried about my salvation, I'm not worried about sin, I'm not worried about anything. And as soon as they say, how can you not worry about anything, you just point out Philippians 4:6, where Paul says, don't worry about anything. Love that verse. I always say, I don't worry about anything. How can you say that? Paul says it very plainly, do not worry about anything. I even tell people, I don't worry about sin. What? Try telling that to a Christian. Go ahead. I don't worry about sin. How can you not worry about sin? Paul says, don't worry about anything. Sin is a thing. Therefore, I'm not supposed to worry about it. That's my truth, and I'm sticking with it. So, nobody's going to convert the world here by good behavior. So, we know the kingdom doesn't come by this means of enlightened Christians. It comes from a literal kingdom. So my point here before the show ends is that there's a pattern set. The kings of the world over the kings of the earth. If you know the past kings of the earth, whoever they are, the king of England, kings of the past, Charlemagne, who else was a king? I don't know. King Edward. Oh, that's England again. Yeah. King is the France. Does France have kings? Oh, they used to. Sure. Louis the 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st. Those would be kings. And so there's a pattern set there. So Jesus Christ is also a king, and he will be king of the earth. So why all of a sudden are you going to make his kingdom figurative when all these are literal? I said the same thing with Babylon. Now, I said the same thing in Daniel, where the kings of this world become the king of kingdoms. The kingdoms of this kingdoms, that's what I said. The kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're going to make the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, some kind of wispy, fake, pseudo-spiritual kingdom where Christians change the world, then you are violating a law of language. Because we have a pattern of literal kings, literal kings, literal kings. Burden of proof's in your corner, bro and sis, if you're going to try to make the last kingdom figurative. It's same thing with the resurrections of 1 Corinthians 15:22. As an Adam all are dying, thus all in Christ shall all be vivified, each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, thereupon those who are Christ in his presence. Christ the first fruit, he literally rose from the dead. So if you're going to say that the other people figuratively raise, or they're not really dead or something, you have this pattern to deal with. Jesus Christ literally died. He was dead for 3 days. Thus also, every human born under Adam will also die and be raised. Except the generation that won't die. Generation, not a whole generation, but those of the generation who belong to the body of Christ. That's us. Therefore, my point before the show ends is that Babylon has been the capital of the world kingdoms. The Babylon that's over there in Iraq, not the Babylon that says Babylon on the little water tower on Long Island, New York. That was never the capital of the world. That little city on Long Island. It was never the capital of the Babylonian Empire. It was never the capital of the Medo-Persian Empire. Never the capital of the Grecian Empire. empire. Therefore, following my own laws of language, as is my wont, I will tell you that the Babylon that will be the capital, the literal city, according to the laws of the metaphor, where the nouns on either side of the verb to be are literal, according to that rule that I follow, this will be a literal city, and the literal city is called Babylon. And because of the other rule of language, that is, those things occurring in a pattern, the last world kingdom, the capital of the world, as it has been in the past, three different times, this is the fourth and last time, Babylon, the literal city in Iraq, on the banks of the Tigris and the Euphrates rivers, will be the capital of the world.